morning, and welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 64th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. If you are tuning in for the first time, Fiber Hooligan is a podcast hosted by yours truly and dedicated to bringing you interviews with the best of the fiber arts world, including experts and designers in the crafts of knitting, crochet, spinning, weaving, as well as anything else that I think is interesting. I want to make sure that I thank the good folks over at Prime Publishing. Prime Publishing is the exclusive media sponsor for Fiber Hooligan, and this show is brought to you by AllFreeKnitting.com, your source for great knitting patterns. If you haven't checked them out yet, please head on over to allfreeknitting.com to get in on the fun. I want to welcome the new listeners today. Thank you for tuning in and trying out the show. I hope you enjoy it. I can't wait for us to get to know each other better. And of course, I'd like to welcome back our regular Fiber Hooligan listeners. Your ongoing support means so very much to me. We do have another sponsor for today's show. Our show today is also brought to you by Leisure Arts. LeisureArts.com is your online source for top-notch patterns and books. If you like crochet, knitting, quilting, fun kids crafts, and more, visit their online web store today, leisurearts.com. That's LeisureArts.com. Okay, my guest today is the proprietor of Yarn Superhero. She is a longtime knitter, crocheter, and newly impassioned spinner. She loves to make things and grow things, and her superpowers include working with what is available, seeing the bright side, and helping people reach their next great idea. With 20 years of business-to-business sales experience, she approaches the yarn business and the rest of life with an improvisational spirit. An unrepentant optimist with a weird love for spreadsheets, she is a member of the small but mighty Spinzilla Committee. She joins us today to tell us more about herself, as well as telling us all about the growing and even international event that is Spinzilla. This will be a first for us Fiber Hooligans, delving into the world of spinning. And I'm very excited to have our guest on today. I'm speaking of the very enthusiastic Andrea Marquis. Andrea joins us this morning from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Andrea, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. Thanks. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you on with us. How are things in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today?
Before I got on the call with you, I was pulling weeds and picking beans out in my yard.
Well, that sounds like fun. It sounds a lot like outdoor stuff, and I try to avoid that whenever possible.
Oh, then we're opposite on that count. That's my favorite place to be most of the time.
Are you like a camping person, too, that goes out and like spends time in the woods?
Not anymore. I used to like camping, but I just like to watch things grow. Mostly what I do in the summer when business is a little slower is I keep good tabs on all of the praying mantises in my yard and see what they're up to.
Are you naming them? I gotta ask. Are you naming them?
Well, it's funny you ask because normally I have not, but there's one that is distinctive because I think she got pecked by a bird, so she has a wound on her back, and so I know that's her. And well, I think it's a her, but I've named her Matilda.
Matilda, that's a great name. Yes. I love that name, Matilda. That's awesome.
Yeah, and she's a good hunter, so she's very welcome in my garden.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and I realize I had some organizational issues and that you fit me into your schedule. I do appreciate your being accommodating, and then we had some noise issues, so I do appreciate that. Let's get right to the show today. I'm going to ask you kind of a boilerplate question that I ask everybody. So, Andrea, who are you and where did you come from?
Well, I named my business that I do now Yarn Superhero LLC. And I chose that name because I felt that someone had to step up into that role. And I came from a pretty long background in business-to-business sales. And I liked it when I did it, and I was pretty good at it. And in the background, I had always done crafty type things. So I was sort of every yarn shop's dream customer, someone who would rush in and buy a sweater's worth of yarn on her lunch hour and had a good amount of disposable income and knit for relaxation. So that's kind of how my two worlds were parallel. And one day I woke up and knew I was really burned out from that job. And really, in a few months later, I had decided to join my two worlds, sales and Yarny stuff. And I decided to start repping for some yarn companies.
Well, that's very cool. And we haven't really talked about reps on the show before. And rather than, and I think this might be interesting to the Fiber Hooligan listeners, rather than me explaining how the rep world works, and we'll talk about how you're different than that, would you mind telling our listenership just, you know, what is a rep and how does it work traditionally?
Yeah, sure. Yarn reps and really other reps, you know, they could be selling accessories or something that's not yarn. They could be selling quilting materials or needlepoint materials. But what it is the person is an independent manufacturer's representative for the wholesaler or vendor who is making or distributing the stuff that they sell, if that makes sense. And like a lot of people in the fiber business, reps have a pretty tough road ahead of them. It's pretty solitary. What normally happens is the rep will plan a sales trip and they will load up their vehicle with a bunch of samples of whatever they're selling, make appointments within their geographic region, which could be really big if they live where states are big, or if they've decided to cover a large area. And they try to see probably 1, 2, 3, maybe more shop owners in a day. Then they're driving themselves around everywhere. And then they stay in a hotel or sometimes with friends and figure out how to eat decently on the road and hope that people make orders, because the way they get paid is just through the commission, which is a percentage of the wholesale cost of what they're selling.
Right, and that's a difficult gig. If you think about it, folks, there are yarn lines out there that are large enough that it can take 6 to 8 hours to actually show a line. And that's a difficult proposition if you're trying to see more than one yarn store a day.
It really is. And I think in cases where you get yourself into a marathon appointment, you have to also be a little delicate in how much information you put out there, because if it does go too long, then really everyone gets exhausted and they might be too tired to think about what to order. So you have to kind of walk that line.
And I know you did the traditional rep thing for a little bit, correct?
I did. Before I started in the business, I actually interviewed. I had phone interviews with a couple of very successful and tenured reps. And they each did things a little bit differently, but they were both kind enough to talk to me about their day-to-day and the challenges and their favorite parts. And, it sort of gave me an idea what to expect. Then I went to the TNNA trade show, and I had sent out resume and introductory emails, really, to a lot of different yarn companies and said, I hope I can meet you at the show. We'll talk. We'll see if it might be a good fit for us to work together. And then I did get some companies who wanted me to carry their lines. And so in some cases, they just gave me the stuff right there at the show and said, okay, get out there. We'll talk to you. Let us know if you have any questions. And they just kind of give you a big pile of yarn and a color book and a price list, and you go do it. So I did do, I guess, the normal rep behavior for probably a couple years. But it was pretty hard.
Yeah, it is a hard gig. I mean, there is money there, but it is very difficult. And the industry is changing. It's incredibly speculative. It's one of the more speculative pieces of the pie. And folks should know that it's not normal for reps to have just one company. There are a couple of companies that have just dedicated reps, but most companies share reps, and reps walk around with several different lines, which is sometimes much to the chagrin of the manufacturers, but that's just kind of the way it has to work. And I know that you decided to do something different. So you kind of abandoned that model and let's tell our listeners about what you decided to do and how you decided to do it to make it different and work for you.
Sure. You know, it was fun traveling around, and I went to a lot of yarn shops, and that was all great. But I did find that with the smaller companies that I represented, I didn't really have that workhorse yarn line that some reps have that really, you know, usually people will have one or two bigger lines that really pay the bills. And then they sort of tack on, you know, a little indie dyer or a couple designers and show the patterns. And that's sort of the dessert after the main course. I did not have the opportunity to be a rep for any of the bigger companies because those spots were already filled. And, you know, it's not like you have to wait for someone to move away. They pretty much would keep doing their business from wherever they are. So even if they moved out of town, you don't get their job next, right? So I liked also the more boutique-y, special indie kind of lines. And so what I decided to do after much experimentation and trial and error is to really pare down what I was carrying. And I became, in most cases, the only rep in the whole country for the companies that I was working with.
Right. And this is virtual. So you are right. Able to call and possibly send samples, but for the most part, you're not getting in your car anymore. And you are trying to carry, again, more boutique and more specialized, what I would call hyper niche items.
It really is. And that's something that I think in a very specialty business, it's still risky, but I think for me, it was the best way to go, was to get even more specialized within a very specialty area. And but what happens is I don't have to travel all the time. I can have a life at home. I can do a garden. I can not have to be tired. And really, when you're driving all day, you get a lot of good think time between appointments, and then you have to talk and talk and talk. But you really don't get a lot of chance to strategize or work on your business or work on ideas. And so what I found with giving myself more time and space to sit still and think and have some good research time and desk time, that I can do more for both my wholesale partners and my retail partners, my customers.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, that's a very good way of looking at it, and probably having a life as well.
That's pretty good too.
Well, having a life is part of what I think a lot of people get into the business, into the fiber industry, trying to have, you know, something that's creative that hopefully gives them some time. And what they find out is it's a lot of work and not a lot of profit in many respects. And they end up working a lot of hours. And so, but you know, I think your model makes a lot of sense. And in the digital age, there's no reason why this can't be done. Not for everything. I mean, I think there are probably reasons why you really do need a rep to walk in with a huge suitcase worth of stuff in order for that to be real in a lot of ways. If, you know, unless you're coming to a TNNA on all the time. And as you and I both know, a lot of shops don't go to TNNA.
That's right. And in fact, I did lose some customers who really were not comfortable continuing our ordering relationship if I wasn't going to come see them regularly. And so that's something I had to really be ready for and accept. And I miss some of those customers. Some of them, I guess it all sort of works out okay. but also I lowered my costs. So my opportunity to have profit, as long as I could continue some other sales activities, was actually a little bit better. And I did also lose some lines. So when I decided to make this change, I told everyone that I was working with at that time, and that wasn't a good set up for some of the yarn companies. They really would be better served by a more traditional rep model. And, you know, it's fine. We parted friends. We still see each other and we still like each other. So that's one really nice thing about the business, is that if you do things in a good way, we can all still be friends. And I'm sure they found great reps, and everybody's fine, right? So everyone's getting what they need.
And I think it's really important that your view about parting company and doing it the right way is really important because, you know, and I've said it so many times, and this industry, people move around. They really do. It's amazing how many different kinds of careers a person can have within the same industry, and you could be working with them again. You know, I mean, that just really does happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never know. And that's kind of how it's always been. Even with the vendors that I currently represent, those relationships and the way we do business has really remained very fluid, which makes it fun for me. I like the variety of that. And I like always having to figure out a new way to make it work. Not everyone probably likes those things, but I do.
Well, I think you like things that are different than a lot of people. I've had a lot of creatives on the show. There's a part of your bio that I love, that you have a weird fascination for spreadsheets. Just so you know, I do too. I love spreadsheets.
Oh, cool.
I think spreadsheets are wonderful, but not everybody does. And
that's right.
I tend to like them just because it helps me make decisions that, you know, I don't know. And we won't talk. Fiber hooligans, we're not going to geek you out with spreadsheets.
Oh, darn. I do color code my spreadsheets. Do you?
Well, yeah, okay.
You don't go in for that?
I really don't. I have been known. Okay. So whereas I don't color code my spreadsheets, what I do tend to do is, you know, the font police would definitely arrest me if they saw my spreadsheets. I do things. And
all right,
and then I do dumb things, like, you know, it's there and I'll put graphics on them just that represent the product or something like that, even though I'm the only one that's going to see it.
Well, yeah, but that's why they're fun. Well, that's good. So we understand each other on some level then. That's good.
Yes, we absolutely do. For the Fiber Hooligan listeners that are curious, and we'll provide links to what you do, although, you know, again, Fiber Hooligans, for consumers, this is not something that you're probably going to be that interested in. But for you, the industry folks and shops that are on, let's talk. Just maybe you can mention the customers, the suppliers that you do have.
My longest standing vendor, and again, I do kind of call people my wholesale partners and retail partners instead of a more businessy name. But my first company that I signed up with that I'm still with is Mountain Meadow Wool. And it's a pretty small startup mill in Buffalo, Wyoming. And two women started it. And they really have done a lot. They get all of their wool and other fibers that they make into yarn and spinning fiber from ranches right in their community. And then they have about 9 or 10 folks also right from Buffalo, Wyoming, who work in the mill doing different things there. They're very earth friendly in their approach. So they're not using anything that is too poisony in their dyes, and their washing process is actually very innovative, and they can recycle the water and things like that. So they're just nice and we love each other, but their yarn is also very delicious. I also work with Yarn Hollow. And Rita Pettis is the indie dyer who dyes her yarn and spinning fiber. And she is from Grandville, Michigan, which is right near Grand Rapids. She's got quite a sophisticated color sense and a really great range of what she can do with her dyeing. So she can do brights, she can do pastels, she can do earthy. I mean, she's really great. And it's a lot of fun working with her, and we're friends. She also works with me on Spinzilla. And I also work with Unicorn Fiber Products, and they are in the Plains, Virginia, and they make Unicorn Fiber Wash, Fiber Rinse, a product called Power Scour, which can remove grease and dirt from a raw fleece or anything really dirty. Like if you spilled ketchup or French fries or motor oil on your hand knit sweater, that could help get it out and get it clean again. And then they have a new product that's more geared towards, I guess, babies or baby knitwear kind of things. And then I also work with Jewel Designs, and she it's a really a one woman business for the most part. She has a studio near Baltimore, and she makes everything by hand right there in the studio, except for some pieces where she works in collaboration with artists and artisans in Bali, Indonesia, where she's spent a good bit of time. So she knows them all personally. It's not that she's just outsourcing the work. And she does accessories that could be for handmade items such as shawl pins and sticks, buttons. She has a really innovative no-sew closure that can be sort of moved around between different pieces and all around the same piece. Like if you had a shawl, you could wear it a bunch of different ways. And she does some bag hardware also.
Oh, very cool.
And that's it. So I only work with four tiny companies now.
Well, you know, the goal here is for you to make them big companies, right?
Maybe medium size. I think everybody would be happy for that. and I would be as well. You know, we don't need to conquer the world. We just want to work with enough shops and enough end users that everyone can kind of have enough.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you giving us a take on the industry and talking to us. I don't think we've ever really had somebody talking about repping lines before at this level. And so I hope that the Fiber Hooligans find it as interesting as I do. This is the business side, folks, that I think is kind of important that we all understand along the way. And the way that we bring things to market, especially the traditional way, which is somebody that's repping companies to get them into, say, the local yarn stores. So that's kind of how that works. All right. But the thing that I'm most excited to have you on the show today is you are here to talk to us about Spinzilla. You should know. I had no idea what Spinzilla was. I mean, I sort of heard about it last year, but I really had no idea what Spinzilla was. And a mutual friend of ours said, hey, you know, would you mind doing something about Spinzilla on your show? And I said, sure, what is it? And they laughed at me for a while. And as I've been finding out more about this, this is kind of a big deal. And I'm very excited. This is our very first foray into to kind of the spinning world for the Fiber Hooligans. And so let's just start you off. Why don't you give the listeners a little bit about the history of Spinzilla, and then we'll lead through what's happening this year.
Sure. Well, and don't feel bad, Benjamin. Last year was year one of Spinzilla, so it was brand new. And the fact that you heard a little bit about it is good news. I don't know how closely you pay attention to the survey data that we get through TNNA, but spinning is actually a growing, well, a tiny but growing segment within our little world of fiber arts. So we have seen already a lot of growth between year two and year one. And I was not in on the ground floor of Spinzilla. I had been part of the spinning and weaving product segment group of the National Needle Arts Association, TNNA. And in that group, there had for a long time been a desire for us to create some sort of an event or something that would make a splash and give spinning a little more visibility. You know, we wanted to make a big deal out of it and get more people to know about it. And so a committee was formed to explore different ideas. And first they had talked about trying to do the world's biggest ball of hand spun yarn. But logistically that was, ended up not to really work. Like, how could you fit it through a door and who's going to measure it? Because I don't want a giant ball of yarn in my house, right? So we ended up figuring out to do Spinzilla. And what it is, it's a friendly competition where teams and individuals challenge each other to see how much yarn they can spin in a week. So this year, it's October 6th through the 12th. And that's the competition time. And the goals are really just to increase spinning confidence and knowledge. The biggest goal is to raise money for the Needle Arts Mentoring Program, or NAMP, N-A-M-P. What we do is the money we raised in year one, we raised almost $6,000, and we gave it to NAMP, and that provided funding for spindles that kids could learn how to spin on that were made out of CDs and dowels and little hooks. And then they had, instructions and also fiber to spin. So NAMP was pretty happy with us. This year we'll raise more because we already have more spinners signed up, and the spinner registration fee is what goes right to the charity component. So 100% of spinner fees fund those programs, which are teaching kids that spinning is fun, that they can make yarn with their hands, and hopefully they'll enjoy it enough that in future years they'll decide to keep spinning, and then they will be the spinning and yarn customers of tomorrow.
Well, that's very good. Let's talk about numbers for just a minute. Last year, how many people participated in Spinzilla?
We had 611 spinners, I think, and we had 27 teams and also some individual rogue spinners. So I spun rogue. I didn't want to drag anyone's results down by being on a team because I kind of had the idea that I was not going to spin a lot of yardage, but I did spin some. But mostly people were pretty excited to be on a team, and there's a lot of good competitive talk as well as camaraderie, and people would practice and do time trials. But everyone together spun nearly 1.4 million yards of yarn, which is pretty awesome.
That's very cool. And so this year, of course, you're still accepting people coming in.
We are.
What number are you up to right now?
Right this second, I'm sure we have passed 1,000 spinners, but the last solid number I got from my other committee members was we were 4 short of 1,000, but that was yesterday. So I'm sure at least 4 people signed up since then. We have 56 teams, and there are still spaces on several of those teams. So for people who want to join in and have that team spirit thing going on, they can do that. And that goes until September 22nd. So there's still a little bit of time to sign up. And if people prefer to be more independent, the rogue spinner sign up lasts just almost right up until the event. So I think that ends October 4th.
And folks, you can find out all this information and learn more about what's possible as far as teams and registration. And I believe registration fees are $10. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. And you can learn all about this at spinzilla.org. And so as you are listening to this, if some of it doesn't make sense, make sure you get up there. This is really interesting. The Needle Arts Mentoring Program, of course, is that program that is really sponsored by TNNA. I know that TNNA has really stepped up and gotten behind Spinzilla as well. We're talking about a lot of people that are spinning that week. Some of it are in-store events, but a lot of it is virtual as well.
Oh, yeah. The spinners can be anywhere. Rogues, maybe someone doesn't have a store where they could go, or even a guild or a spinning group. Maybe they live out in the middle of nowhere and they still want to do it, and they've got their computer hookup. They can video chat with other spinners, or they can jump onto the Ravelry Spinzilla group thread and talk that way. Nimble Sticks is involved with us this year, and so that's a really great way that people can catalog their yarn and look at what other people are spinning. And there will be quite a lot of spinning done in that week, but we also know that people get excited beforehand. They want to practice and get faster and better, and they might have a certain goal for what they're going to spin or how much for that week. But the more spinning you do, the better you get at spinning. And so we've even had brand new beginners who participated last year, and because of the focus on spinning up to and during the event, they became much more accomplished spinners. We also don't care what your yarn looks like. We just want you to make it and measure it. So the pressure's off for trying to be perfect.
Well, that's great. Now, there's something new this year that I under there's something new this year that I understand. There's a new thing called the Monster Mile Club. Can you tell our listeners about what that is?
There is. And just to get in there, there are prizes available for this. So the winning team, all those winners get a prize, a gift certificate prize. There is a trophy that goes to the winning team. There are prizes for the most yarn spun by an individual, and also the rogue spinner who has spun the most. And then the Monster Mile Club is every spinner that spins a mile of yarn, so it's 1,760 yards, will be entered into another separate pool for some more random prize drawings. And then whatever prizes I have left over, and that's sort of my job on the committee, is I'm the prize wrangler and sponsorship salesperson. But anything I have left will randomly draw the rest of the winners from people who haven't won anything else. The other thing that's new this year is spinners are getting credit for plying the yarn. So last year we did not give that credit. This year they will. And we went international this year for spinners. So last year was North America only, and now we're open to teams and individuals from around the globe. And I know we have a team in Holland, and I think in Bolivia, and I'm not sure where the other international teams are, but that information is also on spinzilla.org.
Well, that's very cool. So the prizes that are coming in, I assume that these are being donated by your wonderful sponsors.
I do have prizes coming from sponsors, and also I will accept any individual prizes from anyone. So I have prizes getting donated from little indie dyers who have an Etsy shop, and big, you know, publishing companies, and bigger yarn, you know, yarn and spinning supply companies. And the other thing that is new this year is the sponsorship aspect. In year one, TNNA really did kind of help us with a ton of support to get us started. And then we wanted to not have them have to take care of us anymore. And so we decided to make sure that all of the spinner registration fees could go to the charity, that we would ask our industry companies to sponsor the event so that we could do more with marketing, take care of our other expenses, you know, handle the credit card fees, what have you. And so we do have some really great sponsors on board. Our main sponsors are Shacked Spindle Company, Spinoff Magazine is our major media sponsor, and The Woolery, which is a really great retail place where you can get anything you need for any fiber arts. Those are our big bison our big yak sponsors. Our bison sponsors are Luette North America and Milky's Fiber Arts. So we have a wholesaler and a retailer represented there as well. And then all of our other sponsors you can look up on the website. All of our sponsors have the option to offer specials for Spinzilla spinners. So that would be something for the consumer to look at. And they can get some neat Spinzilla branded products and also get some good discounts.
Well, that's very cool. And your sponsors, you have a nice sponsor list there that, you know, of course, I know the folks at Shocked and I know the folks at Luette pretty well. I understand that that the Shocked people were really interested in getting beginners last year.
Yeah, what they did, it was really great and fun. You know, not everyone who works there at Shacked knows how to do fiber arts. Some of them just know how to build things, and some of them are probably doing order fulfillment or, you know, maybe other administrative tasks. And so what they did is they filled their whole team with Shacked employees, even the ones who had never spun before. And then, of course, they do have very expert spinners there. And so they all taught their coworkers how to spin, and they did really great. And some of the brand new spinners won some prizes, too.
Well, that's pretty great. And so, Fiber Hooligans, if you're thinking about this and you're thinking, oh, I'm not that good of a spinner, that's not a reason why you shouldn't do this. You should do this. If you're a spinner out there and you're thinking about it, well, why not? You know, I mean, there's no minimum, right? You just do your best and...
No, it's fine. If you spin 10 yards of yarn, that's still better than zero. I've been spinning for a few years and I only spun 411 yards of yarn last year. But what it made me do was dust off my wheel and spin sort of in solidarity with all of those hundreds of other spinners around the area, around the world now, that I knew were doing the same thing that I was doing. My goal was to spin the rest of a Coopworth lamb fleece that I had been holding on to for a little while. I did that. I spun it up really quick and lumpy and called it a day.
And what's your goal this year?
I do want to do the Monster Mile Club. I know that I can. If I schedule it into my week, I know that I could spin 760 yards. It's, for me, it's going to be, again, scheduling it in, organization, and having my fiber prepped and ready so I'm not sitting there, you know, hand carding fiber, so I'm just spinning and plying.
Okay. And as we want to follow along with you, I assume that we can follow along on the Spinzilla site. Is there anywhere else where we should be watching online to see what's going on?
Oh, well, we have a Spinzilla blog. We also are doing a Spinzilla blog tour. And so a lot of really neat educational topics have been addressed there from popular spinners and actually one photographer, because part of doing this is you need to take a picture of your yarn once you've measured it, and that's how you submit your results. So we had Kirsten Kapoor, the designer, talk about choosing a pattern for hand-spun yarn. Kate Larson talked about how much fiber will you need to spin what you want to do. Sarah Lamb talked about productive spinning. And JC Boggs did a really great piece on plying. And then I think next week will be Gail Zucker, who is a really awesome photographer. She's actually one of my Rhinebeck friends. And she is going to talk about hints for photographing your work. And then we have a Facebook page, which is Spinning and Weaving Group at Facebook. And the Ravelry group.
Okay, and just, we tend to be pretty active on Ravelry, so the Fiber Hooligans, what's the name of it? The Ravelry group is just Spinzilla?
Spinzilla. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, great. And everybody who wants is welcome, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone who wants to, if, you know, even if you don't end up spinning, we certainly will take the donation to the charity, but we do hope that everyone will try to spin, whether they're doing it on a handmade spindle or a really fancy wheel that they have or borrowing somebody's stuff, doesn't matter.
Great. As just a couple of clarifications I want to put in here just so the Fiber Hooligans understand some of what we talked about. We've talked about TNNA many times before. Earlier, we were talking about the spinning and weaving group. Within TNNA, there are component groups, like the yarn group, for instance, which is the one that is probably more been the most talked about on the show so far. But there is a group called the spinning and weaving group, which is just another group within TNNA that tries to have initiatives and do cool things. And I believe the president of that group is Dave, right?
Yeah, Dave Van Stralen is actually, he'll be stepping down. He's served his 3-year term. And our new chair will be Cheryl Nachtrieb from Recycled Lamb in Colorado. And we're really happy to have a retailer in the leadership group. I am part of that leadership group as well. And I have been for the past couple years. Dave, well, he didn't strong arm me and he didn't trick me, but he asked me, I guess is the fair way to say it, if I would mind serving on the leadership team. When I found out about Spinning and Weaving Group, I thought they had a really good energy. They're not as big as the yarn group. That's still the biggest group in TNNA, but it just had a nice feel to it. And I said, Dave, I'll be happy to help you guys with, you know, I'll be like an ambassador. I'll help you with membership. And he said, "Oh, well, would you be averse to being on the board?" And I said, "Well, I'll do it. What does it mean?" And then I learned, and it's been really great, actually.
That's great. But one of the things that I've been seeing, very much a trend at the Stitches shows in the last year, is the amount of looms and wheels that are being sold on the floor. I can tell it's coming back hard.
I think so. It's, you know, the industry data from the surveys that we've done are telling us that spinning and weaving have a lot of growth potential. We have seen that shops who have spinning and weaving in their businesses, if they have supplies and tools, have been getting, that part is growing for them. They've been getting more profitable in that area. And so part of what Spinning and Weaving Group does is to help support the efforts of the retailers. You know, there are a lot of, say, knitting-centric shops that might want to get into spinning, but they don't know how to start. We can help. And that's what Spinning and Weaving Group, SWG, we call it SWIG, is doing in the industry.
Well, that's very cool. And I'm glad that you're doing this. I think it's very cool that TNNA got behind Spinzilla and that you've now taken it so that, you know, you're really running it yourself. And no, this is very exciting. I mean, if it sounds like you could easily double the number of people in Spinzilla this year from last year.
I would imagine so. We really, 1,000 was our kind of first milestone. I think if we fill all of the teams, that will be 1,400 spinners. And then, of course, there are some rogues. I think we still have fewer than 100 rogue spinners. But if all the teams do fill up and someone still wants to participate, then that's what they could do. And then we're just sort of a gang of rogues. And I will say that TNNA continues to support us in a lot of very important ways. They have shown a lot of good excitement about the event and how well it has worked so far. And it's really been great to work more closely with some of the folks there. And, you know, we're all kind of in this together, trying to help the retailers, which helps the people who want to make stuff, with, and then wholesalers to provide the tools and supplies that they need. So if one person gets lifted up, the rest of us do as well.
That's the exact right attitude. And I also firmly believe in creating events and initiatives to add excitement and motivation for people to get in there and do stuff. I think that when we create excitement and enthusiasm, we are doing our jobs the best we possibly can.
Yeah, it's been pretty funny as the committee members travel around in their regular lives that are all fiber related for the most part. They are meeting people and people will say, "Hey, have you heard about Spinzilla?" And they don't know that, you know, they invented Spinzilla, but it's great that it really turned into a thing.
Well, very cool. And I'm going to be checking it. You know, it's a funny week because I'll be at Stitches at least part of that time.
So, oh, right.
Yes, we're overlapping each other a little bit. And it's too bad we didn't think about that because maybe we could have done something Spinzilla-ish at least one of the days while we were there. But we'll talk about that for next year maybe. So
yeah, we will. That would be great.
Yeah, it would be great. And this is very cool. And you're crossing I Love Yarn Day, it looks like, and you're crossing the National Weaving Week, right, as well?
It is. It's actually National Spinning and Weaving Week, which was started by the Spinning and Weaving Group's old identity, which was the Association of Spinning and Weaving Businesses. And so that week now is kind of handled by the Hand Weavers Guild of America. But it's that, I think, yeah, it's I Love Craft Week.
So, folks, there's a lot going on, and it's your job to go out and do something fiber-related during that week. You know, just do it, right?
That's right. It's, yeah, and again, we really are trying to take the pressure off of, you know, spinning the perfect yarn. It's just get out there and spin, or stay in your house and spin, or try to spin. It's all going to a good cause, and it will make everyone a better and faster spinner.
That's very cool. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I have a couple of last couple of questions, second and last questions. Are there any shout-outs that you'd like to give anybody while we're on the air today?
Yeah, I would like to shout out to my former Spinzilla committee members. It's Liz Gibson from Verve This and That, and she is an awesome fiber person, and she's handling our marketing. Constance Hall is our Ravelry moderator, and she is also the team captain coordinator, along with Rita Petties from Yarn Hollow, actually, who is our chair and logistics person. So it's a small committee. We talk to each other a lot, and it's been really awesome to work with these guys. And, you know, we did it, or we're doing it.
Well, that's very nice. Nice of you to remember your fellow committee members. And final, last question. I give all of my guests fair warning. I gave you fair warning. Do you have any parting words of wisdom or advice that you'd like to give the Fiber Hooligan audience today?
Well, for a shop owner, you know, we all know that's a pretty tricky business too. I would say don't be afraid to ask for help, either from someone in your community or a friend or your employees or the people who supply you, because it's hard to do it all yourself. I would say don't be afraid to further specialize in your little niche market and to try to sell an exciting project. So give the customer something that they want to make and be very comprehensive with it. Like give them the pattern and the yarn and show them what it's going to look like and give them something to make it really special, like a extra shawl pin or something. And that's the salesperson in me. But as far as all the spinners and fiber artists out there, I would say just, you know, give yourself a little bit of time every day to make something.
Well, those are great words of advice. And I appreciate the fact that you had a business-to-business component there, too, because that's not always spoken about. And it's very nice to have somebody on the business side of this come in and talk about the business side. And I really do appreciate it.
Well, good. Yeah, I hope it's interesting to people.
Oh, I know it will be. So I want to thank you for being so gracious with your time today. And
oh, yeah.
Maybe we can have you back next year as we're starting this up again, and we can talk about the next edition of Spinzilla.
Yeah, we'll be taking a little break for a couple weeks, but probably starting up plans for Spinzilla 2015 in December. So we'll probably do some new things and keep some of the things that worked really well and see how the whole event is going to evolve.
Well, thank you for pushing this event out there and getting people excited. And I'm going to wish you a wonderful week, and I wish you nothing but success with Spinzilla.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you very much. You take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That was Andrea Marquis telling us all the great stuff that's going on with Spinzilla. You can find out more about Spinzilla at spinzilla.org, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Okay, you know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, and administrator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Hanging in there.
Hanging in there. That's good. We've had some audio problems, haven't we?
A little bit. We're good there. We're going to do our best.
Yeah, we're good. Usually Tammy joins me from a Skype to Skype connection, and today she's joining me from a landline, so if the audio is a little different, bear with us, folks. But here's the way it works. any way that we can get Tammy is a good thing.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I'm totally stressed out.
Uh-oh. It's Monday.
It's that, and it's, you know, prep for Stitches East.
Oh.
You know, always. And
can't
and
decide which tie to wear with what shirt.
Yeah, you know that, right? Whatever. I don't wear ties. But the other part of it is, you know, I'm moving. You know, I'm selling my house and I'm buying another one because we're on top of each other in this house. You know, when we moved in here 10 years ago, the boys were young enough that they were in bunk beds. And, you know, now I've got a 13-year-old that's about to be 14, and I got a 17-year-old that's about to be 18, and I got a 20-year-old that's in college. But she went to college but didn't leave.
Yep. That's all fun. And then Miss Penny Lane's got to have her own chewy toy room.
Well, yeah, so we're moving. And I thought, okay, what's the best time to move? Well, the best time to move, obviously, is between Stitches Midwest and East, you know, the shortest turnaround time. And so, yeah, we're closing on the 26th, I'm a little stressed out.
Just a little.
Just a little.
You'll survive.
I know.
I believe in you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So how's life in Boise, Idaho?
The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
How about there in South Dakota?
It's actually starting to become sweater weather.
Really?
Yeah, and I love that because the really, really cold is not my favorite thing, and the really, really hot is not my favorite thing either. But that kind of fall time where in the morning and in the evenings, it's not okay to wear a t-shirt, my favorite time of the year.
Okay, so now I have to ask, because everybody's going to want to know, and you brought it up, does Benjamin own sweaters?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, here's the thing. When you're related to so many knitters, okay, evil thing that I have to tell you. So when we do a man's sweater in the magazine, right, the magazine's sweaters, all the sweaters from a magazine go into a trunk show, right?
Uh-huh.
And those trunk shows get, you know, sent around. But over time, the issue's old enough or maybe out of print that the sweater's just still sitting there.
Oh.
And, you know, so the sweaters are still sitting there. And so occasionally, not often, probably once a year, I'll dip in and find something that I just have to have that was knit. And, you know, I always let people know that I have it in case it needs to go back out in the road or used for something else. But so yeah, I have a couple of sweaters from Knitters Magazine past, as well as some sweaters that have been knit for me over the years. I have a great vest that I'm very lucky. Rick Mondragon, years ago when we were doing a book called Guy Knits, we were going to a knit out in Minneapolis at the Mall of America, and he re-knit a Kathy Zimmerman vest for me.
Whoa.
And yeah, it's one of my, and he did it over the weekend. I came into his office and said, "You got to be wearing something from the book." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well, here's the yarn you can choose from, and here are the designs. What do you want?" And I showed up the next Monday, and it was there. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really spoiled.
But see, the cool thing, and I know this because the sweaters that appear in the magazine are shown at Stitches in the XRX booth, and I know that they spent those entire 3.5, 4, however many days you want to consider it, days being fondled. So you get the pre-fondled sweaters.
I do, and it's fine. It's totally fine. And you probably noticed that those sweaters, the garments from the booth, if they don't make it to the fashion show or if they're not being used any of the time, our staff tends to put them on and wear them around the weekend. You've seen that at night, right?
I hadn't noticed that, but now I'm going to be looking extra close.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Lisa's famous for doing something like that. She's famous for doing that. But anyway, so yes, I love sweaters, and here's one of the things that people don't know about me. You know how people always talk about how they don't like to have scratchy wool next to their skin?
Uh-huh. Have you had one of those yet?
I love scratchy wool next to my skin. If I get one of those fisherman sweaters that's really like raw, harsh wool, I will wear it next to my skin and feel wonderful about it. I love that feeling. I'm very weird about that.
Good for you. So a nice soft merino sweater you can pass on to me.
Yeah, I'm not passing anything that's hand-knit. I've, you know, some of my most prized possessions are hand-knit, things that were done in the magazine or things that were given to me. And I know, you know, I'm lucky enough to know exactly how much work that is. And so I don't take those things lightly. And I know all about them, and I tend to know a lot about the garments that are done in the magazine and the books. Well, heck, when you and I met, you walked up and said, "Did you know what I was wearing?" And I knew exactly what you were wearing, right?
There you go. That's pretty exciting. That was pretty exciting for me. I didn't expect that.
That I would know what you were wearing and by who?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You don't expect the CEO of a magazine to be able to name the project that you're wearing and the designer, and then recognize that, hey, you did the buttons yourself. You know, that was pretty cool.
You know, I really do pay attention, you know, to a lot. I mean, I do. I mean, it's, you know, we only put out 4 of these issues a year. The designs that we do are something that, you know, is really lovingly looked after by Elaine and Rick and Karen. And my job is, once it's done, to look at those things and take the pictures and work with the advertisers and try to put them out and understand about the designer. And so, you know, what you happen to be wearing was really beautiful. And folks, if you've never seen the picture, Tammy knit this beautiful piece. I met her at Sock Summit, and she was wearing this beautiful piece. It was part of our K100 issue, our free digital download K100 that it was a double issue. I think it was 50 projects. And it was Brooke Nico's first piece in Knitters Magazine called Daydreams and Lace. And Tammy changed the color and redid the buttons. And it's such an iconic piece for Brooke. And you did a great job with it. And it's not an easy piece either.
No, lace. I like lace, so it wasn't a challenge for me. I think the only challenges that I had was how long it took, because it is a major sweater. It was shoulder to probably just above the knee for me, and long bell sleeves. So it wasn't just a little cardigan or something. It was more like a coat, a lace coat, I showed it to Brooke at Stitches West because, you know, everybody now has heard the story.
Yeah, we probably told the story more than once on Fiber Hooligans. So Fiber Hooligans, if we've bored you on this, I'm sorry. Tammy and I occasionally just have to reminisce. You don't understand. Tammy and I actually enjoy each other's company. You know, we don't get off the air and start swearing at each other or anything like that. Well, let's put it this way. We don't usually get off the air and start swearing at each other.
We don't usually no. Well, we don't usually spend time off the air either, so that might help.
Yeah, but when we do talk, it's kind of fun usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Like with sound difficulties and things like that. Anyway, I'm glad to hear that you'll be wearing a sweater at Stitches East. Everybody's going to be looking for you now and seeing what is Benjamin wearing today.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you see me at the shows. I usually wear, you know,
a suit jacket.
Yeah, and the reason I wear a suit jacket, folks, is not I'm not trying to impress people. I consider sport jackets to be the purse for men. There's all these pockets, right? And I've always got business cards and iPods and notepads and things like that. And so when you wear a jacket, you've just got all these pockets, and so you don't have to carry a purse. And so, it's completely more function than fashion.
So what you need is a sweater with pockets.
Yes, that's exactly what I need. But I need a lot of pockets.
Yeah.
I do. So we should get into this already.
Okay.
So what do you got for us this week? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about this wonderful, exciting new event that looks like going to summer camp for knitters called Camp Stitches.
Camp Stitches in New Mexico.
Yes. November 13th through 17th.
Yeah.
This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I checked with the girls in the office. I know I kind of went behind your back a little bit, but I just wanted to make sure there was still a little bit of room in the classes for people to get enrolled. And they said that the classes are limited to 20 students, but there's still a little bit of room, and that a lot of people are, Mita said that She knows that there are some couples that are making it a vacation so that the husband can come too and check out the venue. So I looked up Hyatt, the Tamaya Resort Hyatt in near Albuquerque. This may be a little bit of a plug for them, but I thought I would kind of read this one short paragraph about the resort. It says you can relax in our soothing spa, play golf on our nationally ranked course, take a thrilling hot air balloon ride, go cross-country skiing or downhill skiing, learn to fly fish, raft the Rio Grande River to immerse yourself in the lifestyle of New Mexico, learning everything from jewelry making to pottery construction and adobe building, from memorable conventions in Albuquerque to incredible family vacations. You'll find our resort a unique adventure to treasure. And for this one weekend, there are going to be seven different teachers, all different specialty skills. For instance, Gwen Bortner is going to be there. She's going to share, it looks like, skill building. The products that are shown with the class are, it looks like, a couple of really cabled, intensely cabled, I'm going to say, handbags. But basically taking a swatch to something that you can use, a one-of-a-kind purse, it says. Janelle Laidman is going to be teaching spinning and color tricks with spinning. Candace Eisner-Strick is going to share beautiful twisted stitch patterns of Austria, which I think is awesome. Our favorite, Cornelia Tuttle Hamilton, is going to share the open spaces in the knitting that kind of give a different geometric open work look to your projects. There's going to be some weaving, rigid heddle loom weaving with Deborah Jarko. Deborah is going to teach, have some fun with weaving. And then Patty Lyons is going to be there with spectacular sweater success secrets. And Ms. Myra Wood is continuing with the things that she was showing us in her wonderful Knit New Directions book that came out earlier this year, Multidirectional Madness. That sounds like it's going to be a great weekend.
You know, it actually is a pretty cool thing. I don't tend to go to camps. I should tell you that. Because they don't need me. There's not fashion show stage, and I don't have to get up and play the class clown like I do at Stitches. You know, and.
But you could go and teach how to make a s'more. I bet that would be.
You know,
awesome.
It's. I think that people want to be. Okay, first of all, as far as camp goes, this is a pretty high-end camp. This is a beautiful place, you know, and,
yes.
You know, we're fortunate enough that we have people that know about this stuff. Rick actually lived in Albuquerque for many years, and so he knew all about this place and how beautiful it was. And it just so happens that our friends, Jeannie Randolph from Fiesta and Susan Maraca from Collage have both been to this thing, and so I was able to ask them about the resort, and you know, it's stunning. I mean, the pictures of this place are amazing. I mean, it's truly a great destination, you know, with a very Adobe-esque kind of feel to the whole thing. But you know, beyond that, it's 3 days and four nights of just like intensive learning and hanging out and, you know, fiber geeking, you know, and it, yes. You know, it includes, you know, it's a higher end product, obviously, but it includes the room and, you know, whether you're doing a single or a roommate double kind of thing, as well as the food. And, you know, it's just great. And Rick does such a good job of hosting this. And of course, Elaine will go too. I don't go to the camps because this is for real fiber artists, you know, and not schmoozers like me. But still, yeah, it's pretty darn cool. It really is.
It looks awesome. This resort, and I couldn't verify which movies it had been used in, but I'm pretty sure that I've seen this resort in movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to quote the movie I think it was in, because I'll be wrong and then somebody will get mad at me. But yeah, no, it's pretty great. You know, for folks that want to see pictures and more information about that, you can go to knittinguniverse.com/camp and see the pictures of the resort as well as, you know, what it's all about. But yeah, it's we haven't done camp in about 5 or 6 years now, and we decided that, you know, it's time. And so, yeah.
It is. in perfect time because it's, you know, right before the holiday craziness that happens. But it's, you know, it's still fall and we're starting to really appreciate our knitted projects and needing some inspirations, I think, about, you know, different techniques that we could use new and interesting to get to complete things. I think this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for anybody that can get to go. And, you know, it doesn't have to be just you by yourself, like I was sharing earlier. This could be something that, you know, both the spouse of the knitter can go with and still that both of you still have an enjoyable weekend away. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And, you know, the neat thing about it is, you know, the dates right now are November 13th through the 17th. Well, the date's not right now. That is the dates of the camp. And if you've ever been to New Mexico, and I've been a couple of times, you know, going during the summer is no fun. I'm just telling you, I'm not a hot kind of guy. And it's, okay, yes, it's a dry heat, but the last time I was in New Mexico, I got, you know, and I went up to Santa Fe. First of all, Santa Fe is really high up, so I got an altitude headache. And then I was continually dehydrated, and I was hanging out with the folks at Fiesta, and they were explaining to me that, oh, you know, you have to be drinking something all the time. And I don't, you know, and they weren't talking about beer. They were talking about water, which, you know, is not my thing. But so, yeah, it's just, but yeah, no, I think November in New Mexico is exactly when you want to go to New Mexico. Yeah.
Just extend that fall. Yeah.
But this resort is just so pretty. I am just such a fan of this resort. Yeah, no, it's pretty great, you know, and yeah. Okay. Well, that's very cool. And if you were, do you have any like, okay, fantasy vacation, which class do you think you'd take?
I think it would be awesome to get to spend one-on-one time with Cornelia and Myra. I think that would be...
You can only pick one.
Well, you know, whatever I could get myself into, I would take. So, I'm not a spinner or a weaver, but, you know, I'd take those classes, too, if I could get in. So.
Yeah, I have to give props to Elaine and Rick. I have to give props to Elaine and Rick. You know, the teachers they selected really do have a lot to offer. So yeah, no, it should be pretty cool. Well, you know, thanks for talking about it. I always get a little, you know me, I always get a little, you know, self-conscious about talking about XRX products on the show, you know?
Yeah, I
but
know.
This is kind of a cool thing.
The people that love XRX are wanting to hear about this, so I'm glad you let me share. You know, and hey, if you got that weekend in November free, you want to go and stay someplace that looks like Julia Roberts has visited it lately and eat some great food and have a wonderful experience, get to Camp Stitches. And I'll post the information about it, the links to the XRX website so that you can see what's posted there and the one to the Hyatt so that you can see what it is that the pictures that we're talking about that look so fantastic in our Ravelry group.
Well, very cool. Well, you know, thank you for taking that on. And, you know, I folks, you should know that I don't edit or I don't mess with what Tammy wants to talk about. So, you know, I wouldn't bring it up, but I do appreciate you bringing it up. And, you know, on behalf of XRX, thank you for doing that. And on behalf of the teachers that are teaching there too, thanks for doing that. It's a great group of people. So I check it out, folks. For nothing else, it's just fun to look at and dream about, even if you can't afford it. So
it is. It is. Thanks, Benjamin, for letting me share that.
No. Well, thank you very much. So you got anything else for us this week? You got any words of advice? I should ask you, do you have any words from advice?
Wow, words of advice. Enjoy the fall, the lengthening summer days as long as you can get them. And, you know, if you can get to New Mexico and lengthen it even further, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll be right. I'll be okay, right? I mean, I'm going to get through this whole move myself, right?
You will. A year from now, when we look back at this episode, you're going to wonder what you were freaking out about.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take much for me to freak out. You know that about me. Okay. Well, I always thank you for your segments. You always do a great segment, and I will look forward to hearing from you next week. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Happy Monday.
All right, Tammy. Bye. Have a great week. Bye. That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan, and admin of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Revelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything on this podcast, I invite you to join us in one of our groups. Tammy does such a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you may have heard on the show. Next week, my guests will be Art and Barbara Elkins, the founder of Webbs, America's Yarn Store. We've had Steve Elkins, their son, and his wife, Kathy Elkins, on the show before to talk about Webbs, but this is going to be a fun, almost prequel to that show. Art and Barbara are going to share with us the history and the evolution of Webbs, from a basement business to the industry leader that it has become over the last 40 years. And for those of you who may have missed it, this is the 40th anniversary of Webbs, so this is kind of a big deal. These are two remarkable business people who I remember meeting for the first time when I was a teenager. I'm so pleased to have them on the show so you can hear how they defined and innovated their business model in the fiber arts world. I hope you'll join us for this very special show. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. If you want to email Tammy directly, you can do so at tammy@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. If you're following us on iTunes, we have moved. You can find us now at fiberhooligan.com/iTunes. And since we're at a new channel up there on iTunes, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave a comment if you like the show. I'd like to thank Prime Publishing and AllFreeKnitting.com for their sponsorship of Fiber Hooligan. I'd also like to thank my editor, Christine Weir, as well as Simone, Caitlin, Chris, Keith, Stewart, and the rest of the gang at Prime Publishing for all their help. I'd like to thank my guest, Andrea Marquis, for being on the show and telling us all about the world of spinning and Spinzilla. I'd like to thank Tammy Burke for everything she does on and off the show. I'd like to thank Leisure Arts for sponsoring today's show. And of course, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you next week for another edition of Fiber Hooligans.